The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May the 12th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The first people to make use of a new state law on sealing criminal records are set to go before a judge today. We head to California, where previously only people whose conviction did not result in incarceration could petition for expungement.
Previously, only people whose conviction did not result in incarceration could petition for expungement. Jay Jordan is CEO of the nonprofit Alliance for Safety and Justice. He will ask a judge in Stockton to seal his decades-old robbery conviction and adds that Senate Bill 731 will give people who have paid their dues a clean slate.
If you have a conviction in the state of California and it did result in a prison term and you finish probation or parole and have been crime-free for 2 or 3 years, then you can petition the court for an expungement.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Under the new law, sex offenders cannot apply for an expungement. Now from the New York Times, E. Jean Carroll weighing whether to file a new defamation lawsuit against former President Donald J. Trump in the wake of his diatribe against her during a CNN town hall Wednesday night. He said her claim of decades-old sexual assault was fake and a made-up story. Trump's comments on CNN came just a day after a federal jury in Manhattan awarded Carroll $5 million in damages. The Times notes Carroll said on Thursday she'd been asleep as Trump talked about her on the town hall. Her lawyer sent her a transcript. Carroll said, "It's just stupid. It's just disgusting, vile, foul." Carroll added she had been insulted by better people. Next to Connecticut, where the House of Representatives there has passed a bill implementing an early voting plan.
Elements of the plan include requiring the Secretary of State to educate the public about early voting and training registrars on how to administer it. The new bill would allow for 14 days of early voting before both a primary or general election. Implementing this plan would create a fiscal burden on municipalities in the state, and Coralie Santana with the Connecticut Project notes what the funding will be supporting.
There's the CVRS, which will allow the registrars and administrators to know who's cast their ballot. There's also a public education aspect so that voters can know that early voting exists and how to do it and where to do it.
She says there are hopes the state will help all municipalities so early voting can be done equitably and accessibly for all Connecticut voters. Analysis from the state's Office of Fiscal Analysis finds early voting would cost municipalities $900,000 in 2024. The state would incur costs between $1.8 and $2.3 million during that same year. A similar measure to approve early voting is being taken up in the state Senate. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
This is Public News Service. A new report explores the pathways young people can take to land good-paying jobs. Eric Tegedoff reports a popular program in Idaho is helping young people with that goal.
The Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce looked at 10 pathway changes that increase people's chances of getting a good job before the age of 30. While there's standard advice like getting a bachelor's degree, the report also suggests entering other types of programs by age 22. Matthew Paskash with the Idaho Department of Labor says Idaho Launch is helping young people do that.
Folks who want to go into the trades, go into stuff that requires perhaps just a certificate program, which may still cost money up front to enroll into or to buy necessary tools and equipment for. This helps to ease that burden and to lower those barriers.
The legislature expanded the Idaho Launch Workforce Training Program this year. By 2024, it will provide high school graduates up to $8,000 to attend community college or pursue a certificate program.
And a new report covering foster care trends among older kids in the U.S. shows some improvements, but critical achievement gaps remain.
The Baltimore-based Annie E. Casey Foundation's report, Fostering Youth Transitions 2023, shows that over the last 15 years, the number of teenagers in foster care has fallen by about half and that fewer young people are placed in institutional settings such as group homes. Many states offer extended foster care for youth between 18 and 21, and the report shows better educational outcomes among those who use extended foster care. Todd Lloyd with the Annie E. Casey Foundation says advocates are encouraging states to promote the practice.
So we really encourage states to consider ways that they could encourage young people to remain in foster care after the age of 18 if they don't have a permanent family. But we've seen nationally that the utilization of extended foster care after the age of 18 is actually very low.
Brett Pivotow reporting.
Finally, Arnadia Ramlagan reminds us May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Across states like Kentucky, buildings are lighting up in green. That's the color for mental health awareness.
According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, in 2021, more than 43% of Kentucky adults reported symptoms of anxiety and depression. And 40,000 youths aged 12 to 17 suffer from depression. Mental Health America of Kentucky Executive Director Marcy Timmerman explains that free and private online screening tests available at mhascreening.org can help individuals check their mental health status.
The screenings are a great way to know, you know, where is your mental health? Are you in a place where you might need some extra help? And it also connects you with resources to help you get that extra help on your own.
Timmerman encourages all Kentuckians to wear green today to show their support for mental health.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.